about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
A lot of people say I have a real cute laugh. It's like.
Oh, that's a great laugh.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
All right, we're going to go to Random Moron on line one and see how he relates to Partially Funny Topic. Random Moron? Random Moron, are you there? Hello? Yes, Random Moron, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Kevin. Hi, V.
Yes, hi. Okay, so how do you relate to Partially Funny Topic?
Hi, Lisa May.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, okay. How do you relate to Partially Funny Topic?
Hi, dear mom. Hi, Ralph. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I come here about?
And now, Little Hands says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Our feature presentation.
Unfortunately, that guy's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That's how most of our calls go.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Tuesday morning, the 23rd of July.
What's happening, party people? How about those Dodgers being in first place, by the way? Who nice. Had written this season off about 6 weeks ago?
A lot of people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
But the good thing about baseball is you have like thousands of games, so you got plenty of time to come back.
There's still 9 months left in the season. Right. So, look, a lot can go wrong between now and then. I'm just saying it's worth noting that on today, the 23rd of July, the Dodgers are actually in first place. So, congratulations on that. Hey, got a great story in the news about a phantom pooper. Have you seen this guy who keeps getting this jogger going by his house in New Mexico?
No.
And she stops every weekend. She stops at his house and poops in his driveway?
No.
The same driveway?
Yep.
That's awesome.
A woman caught on security camera relieving herself next to a house in Nob Hill, and it's not the first time.
New at 10, Action 7 News reporter Melissa Colorado has the hard-to-believe video.
And Doug and Shelley, at first the man who lives in that home thought maybe it was a homeless person, maybe it was a one-time accident. But when his security cameras caught the same young runner pooping right next to his house yet again, it was time to hand the video to us.
It's Easter Sunday, a young woman on her morning run. She makes a turn, jogging towards this alley. Then a security camera catches this.
Drops her pants and lets go. Puts her shorts back up without any wipe, nothing else.
The man who lives at the home did not want to...
Let's think about that for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's think about how juicy that is when you're out jogging on a hot summer day, right? Isn't it just weird to hear the word poop or pooping on the news?
Very casual it is, yeah. About it, too.
Yeah, very. I was actually a little bit surprised how casually they dropped that word.
His face on camera and wants us to call him Bobby.
This is malicious fecal distribution. She's come.
That's my favorite thing I've ever heard.
It's a good band name.
It's a great band name.
Bobby. This is malicious fecal distribution. She's come back multiple times.
At least 4 times, Bobby says. He has no idea who she is and why his home has become her personal toilet.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
4 times he's caught her on video.
Right.
A, it's got to be happening regularly enough that he could be waiting for her and accost her and stop her or at least talk to her, right?
Yeah. I would think. I think
she comes by like every Saturday morning.
Right. And probably about the same time.
Right. B, why hasn't he gone to the police? Do you think that it's possible that this is some sort of a it's an ex-girlfriend or a spurned lover or somebody he's in a dispute with who's intentionally targeting him and he just doesn't want to drag the police into it because he's now somehow going to look bad?
Could I don't. Be. What are the police going to do? They're not going to stake it out.
They can arrest her. They can arrest her. Malicious fecal distribution.
Right. Distribution. If right. They if they recognize
know
it from
who
the
she
video.
Is.
Yeah. It's just, it's so weird to me. He goes to the TV station, but not to the police.
Could
what
it?
Would you What
He's
would you
shaming
do, Kevin?
Her.
Could it be a prank? Could it be they're both in on it?
And they're just trying to get publicity?
Yeah.
I, yeah.
That is a weird first move going to the press.
Yes, just too many questions, not enough answers. There's more.
Bobby says she always strikes on weekend mornings. In fact, his security cameras caught her once again this past Saturday.
I saw this little blonde girl running down the street, and I was like, oh my God, that's got to be her.
Unsure, Bobby left his home and did some errands. When he came back, the evidence was there.
This is calculated. Look, I'm dropping my pants as I'm running.
He's hoping this story makes whoever the culprit is stop once and for all.
If it happens again, I want to run out there with the hose and hose her down and say, bad human.
Bad human.
He's hysterical.
He saw her.
He thought it might be her, so he went to do errands.
He left.
Yes. Very shaky, right?
That makes sense.
Shaky. He just can't be bothered. He just wants to be on TV.
That does not make sense.
No.
And by the way, it is so funny when you see the video because, it's planned. It's not something that just hits her as she happens to be walking by his house. I mean, she's bringing her pants down while she's approaching the house. I mean, that's her intention. All right, when I get to Bobby's house, that's when I drop one.
We got to give her credit, though, for running and pooping.
That's hard to do.
No, she squats. She squats when she does the pooping, but she definitely is preparing for it while she's running. So I don't know. That's a crazy story, and it's going to turn out to be something, like Kevin said, either a prank or, you know, as I suspect, he did something to her.
Could be.
You know, ex affair or something. I don't know what it's going to be, but I will keep my eyes peeled. I do hope we hear more from New Mexico.
If I were her, I would start getting all of my friends
just to do it too.
Just to baffle this guy. This is so funny. I got running a prank on this guy. Every one of you do this. The guy would be trying to figure out what's the connection, what's going on, what did I do? That's awesome. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate. Royal Baby Watch.
Yay.
Boy, was it everywhere yesterday.
Yes.
Well.
Woo.
Yeah.
Future king or queen of England. They didn't know.
What's poor little Northwest going to do now that he or she is not the most famous baby in the world?
That's a good question. I don't know. What's Kanye going to do is a better question.
Yeah.
Embarrassing things that happened while you were texting. We were in San Diego for Comic-Con, and Dave was texting, walked right into the ladies' room. Right
sure
into
did.
It. Just didn't even notice. Till a girl inside said, hey, girls' room.
Squeeze me?
Oh. No one says, squeeze me.
Thank you, Lisa.
Zero people. Petros Papadakis will be here to talk about the...
I'm sorry, what?
The Bachelor.
I couldn't make out what you were saying.
What's up with Florida? We have an author in today about fantasy sports, and man, oh man, is this guy a geek. Woo!
He owns it. He's the greatest fantasy sports person in the world. In terms of knowledge, I mean, he just you can't beat it.
He's been writing for ESPN. I don't know for 10 years about fantasy sports.
Yeah,
Cousin Sal's mentioned in the book as well.
He sure is.
Which is weird. And we also have Aubrey Plaza on the show.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I love her so much.
And a couple of interviews that we did in San Diego. One with Yvonne Strahovski.
There you go.
And one with DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
It's actor DJ Qualls from Road Trip and Hustle and Flow and TV's Legit. He joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. We caught up with him in San Diego over the weekend for Comic-Con. And he hates Kevin. That's what we learned from this interview.
Well,
who doesn't?
He was joking about hating me. Come
no,
on.
Also Yvonne Strahovski from...
Also hates Kevin.
Talks about her return to Dexter. That's all coming up here in the next few minutes here on K-Rock. Now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Oh, my friend Yvonne, who I was hanging out with after the Dexter panel.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? My buddy Yvonne Strahovski?
There was some real sexual tension between her and I. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Doesn't seem likely, I know,
Woo!
But it was there.
You're magic.
It's palpable. Is that the right word? Palpable. What's the word?
Which one?
Palpable, definitely palpable. Not the right one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Palpable, however.
Palpable, okay.
That's where you want to go. We're going to need that moment with.
I'm not sure that's a moment.
I don't know.
It's a second with.
It was palpable, I think. Palpable moment with. Sad news today to start off the Showbiz Beat. Legendary character actor Dennis Farina has passed away. At the age of 69. A sudden blood clot in his lung took his life.
Wow.
How much you can do about that, people. He is, of course, recognizable for so many feature film roles like Midnight Run. Brilliant. Still one of my favorite comic performances. His Midnight Run performance is just outstanding. He played Jennifer Lopez's dad in Out of Sight. He was in Get Shorty, Saving Private Ryan. Had a good run on Law & Order as Detective Joe Fontana, took over for Jerry Orbach on that popular series. And most recently, you've seen him as Nick's dad on New Girl.
Yeah.
So a long run as a really talented character actor and a weird route to get there. He was a longtime Chicago police officer.
That is strange.
Who helped Michael Mann do some research on a role, and I'd always wanted to be an actor, got involved with Michael Mann. Michael Mann put him in something called Crime Story, which was his first big break, made him a TV lead, and the rest is history. So, sad news, because he was a really good actor, and by all accounts, a really good guy as well.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Yeah, there's Dennis Farina there from Midnight Run. Good stuff. Oh, that sound you hear right now. Our heartbroken girls all over America.
Oh.
Teen Wolf star Tyler Posey has announced he's engaged. He's 20, 21 years old, Tyler Posey.
Wow.
Now, ordinarily, I would pish. I would posh.
Right.
I would say pish posh.
You do both.
I would do both. However, when you hear about the story, he's getting ready to marry his longtime girlfriend, Shauna Gorelick, and he said he could not be more excited. The couple met at the age of 11.
Aww.
Wow.
And have been together ever since.
Hmm.
So you gotta believe, and you see these stories every once in a while, that sometimes it is just meant to be that two spirits connect. And if you can meet somebody at 11 in grade school,
no kidding,
and be in love with them and love them up through the age of 21, and that's still strong, I think you got as good a shot at anybody at that point.
That's something.
That's ridiculous. So, wishing them the best. Liam Gallagher, however, not so popular with the ladies. At least not one particular lady, his wife. They are splitting up after a long marriage. You know, for the dumbest reason, too. It turns out that Liam has fathered a 7-month-old love child with another woman.
People can be so uptight.
So the wife wants to throw away the entire marriage because he had a baby with one lady? Really? Why are you so uptight, Mrs. Seriously? Gallagher?
He seems like... He should never be married, though, right? Like,
right.
Yes. He's very dickish.
Well,
he is.
I don't know the man personally, but he does seem to be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, he is.
A little prickly, perhaps.
Yep. Often drunk.
Sure, there's that. I'm sure this was the first time he ever had sex with another woman outside of his marriage.
Probably, however. Yeah.
This is just a bad accident.
Probably the truth.
He's pulpable.
He's very pulpable. And Stacey Keibler... You know, she is the latest ex-girlfriend of the Clune dog.
She got too old?
Yeah. No, I think, once again, I believe she wanted to settle things down.
Yeah. Mm. Not a fan of that.
Doesn't work.
And you got to know going in, if you're dating Clooney, that situation is not going to present itself. Interesting fact about Stacey, I did not know this, that she has those amazing long legs of hers.
Right.
You know, of course, she got started in the WWE and then became a model and a dancer. She has them insured.
She has her legs insured.
Her legs are insured. She said it wasn't easy to do that either. When you want to get a body part insured, they make you jump through a lot of hoops. Literally, in her case, they made her jump through a lot of physicals, lots of paperwork. But she says it's worthwhile because her legs are so much a part of her career. And then they ran another part of the story talking about other celebrities who have other body parts insured.
Fantastic. I love these.
Holly Madison, for example, former girlfriend of Hugh Hefner.
Boobs.
Boobs, indeed, Kevin. She has a $1 million policy on her boobs.
So, what does that mean in the real world? Like, what has to happen to her boobs for her... Like, if she gets cancer and has to have a mastectomy, she gets the $1 million? Is that what it's supposed to insure?
I imagine.
I'm hoping that's a rhetorical question, and you don't expect an answer from me.
No, I really don't know. Like, what kind of damage has to be... Okay.
Yeah, I don't... I don't have my actuarial table here to look up my insurance information. But maybe it's like she has to get hit by a mortar or something. Maybe a mortar shell has to take out her boobs.
Or maybe one deflates.
I'd like to do that research.
America Ferrara, Ugly Betty, remember her?
Yeah.
She has her teeth insured for $10 million.
I was going to say braces as a joke. She has her teeth insured
for $10 million.
Wow.
Wow.
It would be worth... Staging an accident, hitting the pavement, knocking him out
for $10 million. Yeah,
right.
You get a whole You can diamond-encrusted gold teeth put in. And lastly, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, his vocal cords are insured for $5 million.
They should pay it out then.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how would you know if there was any damage to his vocal cords? How would they be able to put in a claim on that one?
Right.
Should have already collected.
It's like Tom Waits insuring his vocal cords. There's some people just like, look, no matter whatever happens to your voice, you'll still pretty much sound the same and you'll do your thing, right? All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July the 23rd. Radio personality Don Imus is 73 years old today. Woody Harrelson, 52. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is 52 as well. Slash, just saw him down at Comic-Con.
We did. Great guy.
From Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses, of course, is 48 years old today. Philip Seymour, Mother Effin' Hoffman, turns 46. Charisma Carpenter, that's a good deal right there. She's 43. Boy, she looks great for 43. Mm-hmm. Actor and comedian Marlon Wayans is 41. And actor Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself, celebrates his 24th birthday today. It's a shame that guy doesn't have anything going on at 24, except for all the money and fame and talent that he's got. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is Bastille on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 6. We're going to have that band in the studio tomorrow morning playing live.
What? That's awesome.
What? Playing live. How about that?
Very cool.
With a name like Bastille, they ought to be French, but they're in fact British. So what's that all about?
But they're damn good.
Yeah, they're good. That'll be tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were at Comic-Con 2013 over the weekend in San Diego. Great time. Had so many interviews. Didn't have a chance to play them all when we were live from there Thursday and Friday. So we got some for you this week, including Bill Hader, Samuel L. Jackson, others we haven't played yet. Kevin, we ran into your girlfriend, Yvonne Strahovski, who I know you love from the Dexter TV show.
Yeah, yes, I do.
And they came up to us and they said she literally was walking in between, you know, past us from one interview to another interview, doing these big time movie studio
then
interviews.
Her eyes caught my eyes.
And she couldn't resist walking up and spending a couple minutes with the Kevin and Bean microphone.
She stopped walking immediately. This is we wanted to ask her about the Dexter panel, which Ralph hosted on Thursday evening. They have the whole cast up there, 6,000 people. And Dexter's one of those shows where they keep everything quiet. You don't know what's coming.
Right.
And they asked her a question, and she was pretty sure she may have just made a huge mistake.
Oh.
Like, I may have really just given away a spoiler.
It's the worst.
Not a huge spoiler, but a little spoiler. And she got embarrassed. She put her hand over her face, and it was really funny. So we had to ask her about that situation. Von Strahovski is here. We were at the Dexter panel.
Oh.
And you were talking about Hannah.
Yes.
And they ask a question, and you sort of almost...
flubbed it.
It sort of looked like you almost gave a lot away.
Well, it looked like that, didn't it? But maybe that's me being clever, isn't it?
It wasn't. No embarrassment when I see it.
Are you calling me out right now?
I am, yes.
Well, we just know that there's so much pressure on you guys. Like, I feel like you know you'll be tortured if you slip up and spill a secret.
Well, a little bit, yes. I did get tortured last night. They pulled out the whips and the chains. It wasn't that big a mistake.
No. You didn't know at the second whether it was or not.
I think I was so relaxed, actually. I've been here for 6 years now, and I was so relaxed on that panel that I just sort of went, I don't know.
And you put your hand over your face. That was the moment when everybody was like, uh-oh. Well, we got the impression that the producers were just going to stand up. They were just going to unplug and go, let's not even bother showing the last season. The cat's out of the bag. Way to go.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Question number two, because they only told us, they told us we only get two. I, Frankenstein?
Yes, I, Frankenstein.
That looks awesome, dude.
It's really cool.
I just called her dude.
That's all right. I use dude all the time.
Dude, tell us who you are.
Okay, dude. In the movie, who I am, I play Tara. Tara Witch is a scientist. She's an electrophysiologist. And she's one of the only humans in the movie because we set up this world where we have these gargoyles and demons, and the gargoyles are fighting for humanity, and the demons are the
evil.
That
old story.
That old story. But the humans don't know about this war, and then they're sort of fighting for the creature of Frankenstein's immortality, played by Aaron Eckhart. He plays Adam the Creature.
When does it come out?
January 24th, yeah.
Right, anything you want to spoil about that movie before we let you go?
Well.
Is the monster really dead? Thank you, Yvonne. You're awesome.
Thanks, guys.
She is awesome.
Even prettier in person, by the way, Lisa.
Not possible.
Yeah, I know.
Just no. Not possible.
Possible. Tsar.
Yeah.
Glad I didn't.
And then we talked to DJ Qualls. Now, this was, you'll hear about how this is his first Comic-Con and his thoughts on it. What time did we get to his hotel, B? Noon?
It was 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd woken him up.
Oh, he had a good night.
And he is one of our favorites. Of course, he's one of the co-stars on Legit.
with Jim Jeffries. So we asked him about Comic-Con and Legit and a bunch of stuff. DJ Qualls, looks like a rough night last night, huh?
It was a rough night. You guys woke me up. I nerded out pretty hard last night. That's what you do here, right? The Comic-Con?
This is your first ever Comic-Con, and I am fascinated. What did you expect it was going to be like versus what it's been like for you on the ground so far?
It's really just an excuse to drink, I think. It's a bunch of people getting together, an excuse to drink, except they have on, like, angel wings. And I don't even know who anybody's dressed up as. Their costumes don't make sense. Like, there's, like, slutty angel, slutty demon, and then the nerdy guys who are not going to be able to sleep with them.
Now, usually when they bring a big-time movie TV star like you out here, DJ, they got you pimping. Whose water are you carrying here this week?
I'm going to crash a Supernatural panel to say hello to those fans.
That's going to be the classic, hey, remember me? I used to be on your show.
I am on their show, asshole.
Yeah. Not lately.
No, not lately. You're right.
Now, Legit, who's the show that we love so much with you and your good friend Jim Jeffries, you are moving to FXX, but I don't know what FFX, that already exists on my channel or what?
It doesn't start until September. Okay. I think it used to be Fox Soccer Network. I don't know what the hell people at Fox were thinking. Americans are not going to watch a soccer network. So it folded, and then they changed it to our new channel.
I watch that all the time.
Shut up. You did.
I did.
Did you really?
All the time.
You are a weirdo. The more I get to know you, the less I like you.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. No, Kevin is the American who was keeping that channel afloat all these years.
I can't believe it.
Do you know anything at all about what Mr. Jeffries and the writers have planned for season 2?
I do. They told me a lot of stuff that we're doing, and I didn't believe a couple of the things that Jim told me, so I asked executives last night at our FX dinner, and they said that they're letting us get away with it. I really can't believe some of it. The stories are pretty great, and it was funny because I was talking to one of the network guys last night, and he was like, man, your show is going to be a lot better this year, and I'm like, but it's already kind of good, right?
He loved it. How could it be that much better?
I don't know. But they say the new scripts are really good, and I can't wait to see what happens. I have to go to a water park, which means I have to get my tits out, and so I'm kind of nervous about that because they're getting kind of droopy. I'm getting old. So I'm a little nervous about that.
The more I get to know you, the less I like you.
I knew that was coming.
We're almost out of time here with DJ Qualls at Comic-Con 2013. Do you have a moment for a couple words on Pawn Shop Chronicles? That's available now? People can see that now?
I don't know, but it's gotten scathing reviews. As a matter of fact, the director apologized to me when I left the set.
Oh, no. Yeah. Let me read this one line from the synopsis that we got on your movie, and you tell me if this sounds accurate to the film that you remember. The two men jaw about the merits of Black Santa Claus, Arnold Schwarzenegger's accent in the Terminator movies, and tater tots. Is that an accurate plot point?
I think that's what he was apologizing about. He's such a nice guy, the director. He directed like some movies that were like nominated for Oscars, and then he directed this.
So this is the classic.
I don't lie. I'm not the kind of guy that's like, go see my movie, it's really, really great. People are not saying kind things. And as a matter of fact, your review said that it probably won't be featured prominently on my resume. But the sad part about it is if you've seen the other crap I've done, it probably will be.
DJ, have fun at Comic-Con, my friend. Great to see you.
Oh, I love you guys.
He's the best.
He's so funny.
How many actors awesome. Do you know that'll say, the movie I'm in is crap?
The director apologized to me.
And that may all be true, but none of them say it.
Never.
DJ cannot lie. So that's Yvonne Strahovski and DJ Qualls. It is 16 minutes after 6.
ESPN senior fantasy sports analyst and author Matthew Berry joins us later on this morning on The Kevin Amin Show. There's a guy who not only has made a living, Kevin, writing about fantasy sports, but he's won an Emmy for it.
An Emmy?
Yes.
How does that work?
Because he's on ESPN. Also, Aubrey Plaza joins us to talk about the to-do list coming up, and our friend Petros Papadakis will be here as well. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. You call us 24 hours a day. Leave a message for us. We play it back when we can. We always joke about what it would be like at various times. Like this morning, if your alarm went off around 5:30 and you heard us talking about malicious fecal distribution.
Sure.
We always wonder, like, what's the first thing you hear on the Kevin and Bean Show when your radio goes off in the morning? And that's what this first call's about.
Ever since I stopped listening to the Kevin and Bean Show 2 months ago, my marriage has improved, I got a promotion at work, and my kids don't think I'm an asshole anymore. Thanks, Kevin and Bean.
That was in no way the call I set up, but still, Kevin Bean changing listeners' lives left and right. Here's a, we don't usually take song requests, but someone did leave one on the Afro line.
Okay, I know it's not Christmas time, but I just randomly got a craving for some fruitcake. Can you play some for me? What you making? Fruitcake.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
And that is one of those songs that will be stuck in your head all day long. There's nothing you can do
about
it.
That's not just Christmas either. That's year round.
Yep. That's year round. Fruitcake is forever. Here's, I think, an excellent idea.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the Fire Beer Month party. It's a party where beer might get fired.
Yeah, we got that.
Lisa, would you like to go?
It's a pretty good idea, isn't it?
Nice invite. It'll be a good party.
Sure, why not? Kevin, I was on vacation last week. You had in the guys from Drunk History.
Yes.
And this is what? This is where they just record people trying to talk about historical events like the Revolutionary War or something like that, but they're just smashed, right? And then they have actors who kind of recreate their version.
A lot of times actors who you would recognize are doing it, and it's not people who are wrong about history. It's smart people who know history. And they've got that one thing that they just can't believe everyone doesn't know, and then they get them drunk. Yeah, and it's fantastic.
It's my new favorite show.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome. Here's a listener, I think, with a great suggestion.
Hey, I'm very excited to watch Comedy Central's Drunk History, and I was wondering, when does Kevin's episode air?
See, that's funny.
Right? Right?
Except for they wouldn't feature me because I don't know history. By the way, I don't know if you saw, but those guys were on a talk show. I don't remember whose, and they told the story of going to the History Channel with the Drunk History show,
Yes.
saying, hey, this is a different angle. This is a different thing. You should put this on your network. And they did the interview, and then they got a call back, and the guy says, we totally want you on the History Channel, but can you do it without being drunk?
Oh, my God.
And they were like, well, that's sort of the point of the whole show.
Right.
So no thanks.
You had the incredible pressure, Kevin, and I think now you realize how tough it is to be in control of the bell while I was on vacation.
Yeah, it's tough.
You take a lot of abuse from the listeners if you're not fast enough or if you're wrong or if it's too many bells or whatever it is. There's a lot of things people can complain about, and I guess this call is about some sort of controversy that broke out. I'll need an explanation after we hear it.
You did not give Kerry Washington a bell. Kevin, you're a douche. Bean, you're a douche. Ralph, you're a douche. Hi, Lisa
May. How does Lisa always come away unscathed?
She is the star of Scandal,
yeah.
And she's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. How did you not give her a bell?
What is wrong with you?
I don't remember that happening, but I can guarantee you I know the answer, which is that I didn't recognize the name.
Okay.
I guarantee you that.
So it wasn't malicious or
no.
anything. All right.
Not that I don't find her attractive. It's just that I have trouble placing people.
Why am I a douche? I wasn't even there, by the way.
Well, you're a problem? Douche for a lot of reasons.
And in general.
Here's a call for a beer mug.
This message is for a beer mug. Shut up.
Amen.
Wow.
Here's that call about the radio goes off, and it's on the K-Rock Kevin and Bean Show in the morning.
And my alarm just went off, and I hear Ralph say, don't let the door hit you or James Dean split you. That was my wake-up call. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
I don't even want to know what that was about.
That was about her getting turned down by Playboy.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Beer Mug is going to be on another movie red carpet tonight, so we'll have some interviews, we hope, later in the week. That's what this Afro call's about.
Hey, Beer Mug, I just saw that Walk the Moon is playing the Hollywood Palladium in October. Beer Mug, Walk the Moon. Beer Mug, Walk the Moon. Walk the Moon.
Who are they cheering? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys, hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon. Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy, Walk the Moon. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon.
I don't know how he thought that was going to get her to come over.
No. Speaking of movies, here's a quick review.
Listen, guys, say what you will about Pacific Rim, but it will never be the movie that Sharknado was.
No, it won't. And although that's getting so much buzz, Sharknado, that's a horrible movie.
Yes.
I mean, it's unwatchable, but it's funny unwatchable.
Two more Kevin and Bean Afro calls for this go-round. Don't forget, you can call us anytime. It's charity time with friends and helpers, Kevin. What are we looking for right now? You had your wife in a few days ago.
Yeah, we're doing a back-to-school drive, which is, I think it's this Saturday morning, which is when we're going to put together thousands of backpacks for kids going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link at kevinandbean.com where you can just go to friendsandhelpers.org. I believe that's the website. And here's a call about that.
Hey, everybody give money to Friends and Helpers. And by the way, Melissa, I tend to give a little more money when you refer to Kevin as the lamb.
Great.
Or lammy. Thanks.
That helps. It means he gives more in that situation?
Yes.
Exactly.
I've told him before, hey, hey, is there any way to not use that nickname in public?
Not so much with the lammy. Yeah.
No.
And finally, and I think it's time that we have this conversation on the Kevin and Bean Show, there have been those that have suggested that in 2013, there's been entirely too much vomiting on the show.
You think?
And I think this listener is making that point.
Kevin and Bean, the musical fruit. The more you listen, the more you...
Somebody's just waking up now.
I feel better now.
323-520-AFRO. That's the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We'll be right back. Lisa, you're a girl, right?
So far.
Explain the fascination with the royal baby among Americans. I get it in Britain because one day this guy's your future king. But why do so many Americans care?
Why are you asking me? I care less than you.
Oh, fantastic. That's good to hear.
Because it's a girl thing. I suspect that it's a girl thing and it has something to do with a fairy tale princess, imagination or something. I don't know. Yesterday you could not get away from the royal baby coverage. There were 25,000 tweets a minute on the royal baby yesterday.
Yeah, there was advice from parents, and what's going on? I mean, do people not have anything in their lives?
I heard discussion about, as you said, like, what kind of parents do you think they'll be? Well, you know, William's dad was kind of a hands-on, which was a change for the royal family.
Oh, dear God.
He was even talked about splashing in the tub with the son.
Well, what happens when there's no news to talk about, which has been the last couple of weeks, where the royal baby's coming, the royal baby's coming, yeah. They have to fill with just nonsense. And every single channel seems to be doing their part.
Okay, big news, let the countdown begin. We're officially on Royal Baby Watch.
This is The View, and we are on Royal Baby Watch right now.
All of London is going crazy with Royal Baby Mania.
We're
going
to turn now to the other royal baby who is keeping everyone waiting, including Queen Elizabeth.
Next at noon, Royal Baby Fever kicks into high gear as the Duchess of Cambridge enters. What are we on? 9-10 hours
of
labor?
A long time.
Plus fresh odds on the name and when the royal heir-to-be might actually wear the British crown.
Good morning, America. Breaking right now, the Duchess of Cambridge in labor.
Well, the whole world wants to know, will this be the big day that Kate gives birth?
Those royal trumpets can mean only one thing. A little excitement here this morning. Won't be long now.
The excitement is building in London with the royal baby watch all ready in labor for round about 14 hours. It's a boy. It is a boy. The royal baby is here, a boy for Prince William and Kate.
Catherine, the Duchess of Cambridge, gave birth to a son.
The 8-pound, 6-ounce boy was born at 4:24 p.m. London time. He'll be third in line for the British throne.
The boy is currently third in line to the throne.
I gotta tell you, I mean, who doesn't love babies? I love babies. I had a baby, right?
Yeah, that happened. That happened on TV.
Oh, man.
Well, we thought if you can't beat him, join him. Hit it, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
thought we had to, you know, introduce him because I guess we'll do that in a second, though. Here's our royal baby watch.
As all the world turns its eyes towards England, Kevin and Bean now present Royal Baby Watch 2013.
And I understand on the street out in front of St. Mary's Hospital in London, we have Kevin and Bean correspondent. Is this Clive Kriegel? Is that who's joining us now?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
We're good. You're Doug Kriegel's brother?
No, we're actually distant cousins.
Distant cousins, okay.
Dougie is from the American side of the family. Why, of course, I'm still British.
You're what?
British.
British, okay.
Sounds like you have some of the same delivery style. So what's it like there in London right now that the baby has finally arrived?
All of England is quite excited, and we're all getting ready for a 62-gun salute. And the water in the fountains of London will be turning blue.
I'm sorry?
Turning blue.
Turning blue, okay. All right.
Because the baby's a boy, you see.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
I got
fireworks
it.
Okay. will be seen in the sky, and street parties will commence as we all celebrate the arrival of the third in line for the throne of England.
Now, let's all concentrate on what that means, Clive, because third in line means that Prince Charles takes over after his mother, Queen Elizabeth, dies,
yes.
and then he reigns for 25 years or something like that.
Yes.
Then his son William gets the crown, and yes. he reigns for like 50 years. So this kid that was born yesterday doesn't even have to think about having a job for like 60 years, right?
60 to 80 years of speculation is when he will finally take the throne. Meaning well, everyone listening to my voice now will be dead.
Right. That's an excellent point. So why do we care about this child who won't do anything in our lifetimes?
Because the future monarch, of course, holds a place of great honor amongst British society, and now this new baby, who's yet to be named, will eventually be the leader of the country.
It will eventually be what?
Sitting on the throne, being the leader of the country.
The leader of the country.
The leader of the country.
Okay. Now, I understand that you can wager on what the baby's name will be. What names have you heard bandied about, Clive?
Well, the most popular choice amongst the citizenry is George. Most of Britain has expressed a great desire for another King George yet again to reign on the throne in Buckingham Palace.
Where does Kevin rank on that list?
Kevin... Not showing up
on
my
list.
Not on
the list at all.
After George, the next three most popular names are King Skippy, King Rivet, or King Tangerine.
I'd vote for Tangerine.
I would as well. I think it's a delicious fruit and makes an excellent juice to have in the morning when you're thirsty.
Excellent right. juice what?
To have in the morning when you're thirsty.
Okay. All right. We saw some coverage yesterday among your journalistic colleagues who were miserable to be on Royal Baby Watch. It seemed like an assignment that not everybody was happy to be doing.
I am quite happy to be on Royal Baby Watch. The private wing of St. Mary's Hospital where the baby was born is very near my lung treatment center.
Your what?
Lung treatment center.
Oh, your lung treatment center. I see.
So I was two birds with one stone, as it were.
So you could do your job and get and a treatment.
Also get my respiratory therapy as well and get...
get... You all right?
Oh, Clive, that's terrible.
I just coughed up something small and furry.
Oh.
I have no idea what that is. Oh. But it could be worse... than doing Baby Watch. My cousin Doug often has to go out in the heat and ask people how they're staying cool.
That's true. That does happen. Is that a joke in the family?
That is a joke in the family, yes. Anytime we want to talk about something trivial, one of us will say, well, let's call Doug and see what the man on the street thinks. And then we all laugh. And then, of course, we all run out of breath.
Wow, that is a family trait.
It is. We have very small lungs.
Right.
About the size of your fist.
Well, thank you for the excellent coverage on the streets of Britain. I hope we never have to refer to the Royal Baby again.
Well, Royal Baby Watch, of course, will not come about for another 100 years or so. So enjoy it while it lasts and get your bets in on King Tangerine. That's my pick.
Will do. Thank you, Clive.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean. That was Royal Baby Watch. 20th.
Earn your MBA online and join a broad network of alumni, leading with integrity in business and society. It's Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899. Perhaps I should go.
Lisa's drinking.
Yep. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:52.
Lisa, grab
pretty much. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What you talking about?
You should join the alumni of Azusa University.
She's been working with me too long.
Go to the party bus, go to Azusa University, and be with the alumni.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party for all of us. Oh, sad news to kick off the showbiz beat this morning. Dennis Farina, longtime distinguished character actor of TV and movies, has passed away at the age of 69 years old. Blood clot in his lung was the cause of his death. Longtime Chicago police officer then made a seamless transition into a second career as an actor with the help of his friend Michael Mann, who used him on Crime Story, a TV series that sort of established him, and then he went on to do great roles in movies like Midnight Run and Out of Sight and Get Shorty, was on Law & Order, took over that show after Jerry Orbach passed away. Recently, you saw him as Nick's dad on New Girl. Was great on that show as well. And oddly, on that show, he passed away on the show. And then
that's right.
Months later, he passed away himself. So
here's a clip of him, a great line from Snatch.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, merry f***ing Poppins, London.
It's so funny.
So funny. I remember Midnight Run, there's a line where he says, he's talking to his accountant, he goes, Sydney, so help me, I'm going to stab you in the effing heart with this pencil. I always love that. Miley Cyrus is a big fat liar.
Really?
Now what?
Who lies. Yeah, she has this new song, We Can't Stop. Have you heard it? Maybe you've seen the video. It's horrible. Anyway, there's a line in the song that says, I'm dancing with Molly. And you know Molly, of course, is the street name for MDMA, which is basically...
Ecstasy.
Yeah. And everyone said, oh, whoa, 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 what about that? And so she and her producer said, no, it's dancing with Miley. Not Molly, you're dancing with Miley, they said.
Oh, please.
And now it's being played on the radio, and someone finally cornered her in an interview and said, what's that line, really? And she said, okay, yeah, it's dancing with Molly. But if you're aged 10, then it's Miley. She said, we changed and we lied about the lyrics to get the song radio play because we were afraid they wouldn't play it if they knew what the real lyrics were.
Okay.
She added, I've grown up. You can Google me and you know what I'm up to.
Oh,
so you know what the lyric is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do drugs.
I'm all about ecstasy. Woo!
I do drugs. I'm so cool. Yeah, you know what? You've obviously shown, but just by saying that you have yet to grow up, Miley Cyrus. You lying liar who lies.
Spike Lee. That's such a big liar.
Spike Lee's upset.
Uh-oh. Now what?
I believe.
He's trying to raise money for his next movie, and he can't seem to find anyone who fund him. So now he's going to Kickstarter. You know what? People who have made a dozen movies shouldn't be allowed to go to Kickstarter to get their movie made.
But what are they supposed to do if they can't?
He wants $1.25 million. I'm sure Spike Lee's got $1 million. I'm sure he's got it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Bet on yourself. You want to make your movie? Bet on yourself. You put the money up. You reap all the rewards. Look, George Lucas did this time and time again. Made him a billionaire.
Right.
Yeah, he succeeded.
Don't put your hand out if you already have the connections to make a movie in Hollywood. You need the money. I'm sure Spike's got a mill.
Sure.
He could raise himself to make his own movie.
But how does it work with Kickstarter?
Don't have me foot the bill for you, Spike.
Do you get any kind of... Do you get paid back, Bean? If they
no.
make the money?
Oh, no.
You don't.
Huh. That's the thing.
I figured it would be like an investment where you put in $100, maybe you get $150 back.
You get a t-shirt and a ticket to the premiere.
Wow.
That's what you get. Right. He says he wants to make a new movie about human beings who are addicted to blood.
All right.
Funny, sexy, and bloody it's going to be, he said. And it's not Blackula, he warns. Yeah, if you wanted to make Blackula, I'd give him some money.
Yeah, then I'm in.
Yeah, the blaxploitation version of Dracula. First person to shell out $10,000 for his movie, by the way, gets the bonus of having dinner with him and a seat next to Spike courtside for a New York Knicks game in Madison Square Garden.
That's pretty cool.
That's fun.
So, there you go. He also said, by the way, if it was in the same climate today, Universal Studios would never make Do the Right Thing, the movie that made him, sort of put him on the map.
Look, we've been hearing year after year. We hear this story where those mid-level movies just aren't getting made anymore. You know, we talked to Ralph a couple of months ago about how Steven Spielberg said that the Lincoln movie almost didn't get made, had to go to TV because people just don't want to make movies like that aren't international blockbusters with robots and monsters.
Yeah, but there's a place for smaller independent films. They can get made, especially if you've got a track record like Spike Lee. Yeah.
I would think so. I would think a guy like Spike Lee would have no problem raising $1 million. That's a surprise. What about Corolla? Have you seen the way he's been hustling? He's up over 700,000 on his Kickstarter. Now he's trying to get to $1 million.
Yeah.
And he is literally a millionaire.
Literally a millionaire.
That's right. So, you ask him that question when you had him on last week, by the way?
Didn't have to.
Why don't you pay for it? You're a millionaire.
No. Sell a couple cars. You could do that. Well, we're talking about movies. Freddie Mercury, the long talked about biopic about the lead singer of Queen, that movie has gone away.
Oh, what happened?
I'm very sad by this news.
I was too, because Sacha Baron Cohen was tapped to play the lead, and it was perfect casting.
It would be amazing.
It would be amazing. It's a fascinating story and a great band with great music. They just had everything going for it. The only problem was there was a disagreement on what kind of film this would be. The surviving members of Queen wanted to do a basically PG-13 movie about the story of the band. Sasha, however, wanted to do an R-rated, warts and all look.
Ah,
at the
I'm Team Sasha.
At the gay lead singer, talking about his personal life and everything else. He had a long-time relationship with a woman as well as being gay. And, of course, his tragic end with HIV. So there was a lot of meat there in that script. And it sounded like the band wanted to gloss over some of that and spend more time focusing on the rise and success of the band. None of the scripts that Sasha submitted to the group got approved. So he is now finally given up. He's washed his hands of the whole thing. He's out, and that means, at least for now, the project is dead, so we won't be able to see that film.
That's disappointing. And he can't, it's not like he can go off and make his own, because Queen has the rights to the music, so they're not going to give it up to
somebody
else.
Well, they did start working on the music.
Is this Sasha here?
Yeah.
Mama, just kill a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and threw it all away.
You could have got an actor that sounded a little more like Freddie Mercury.
I think William Shatner is Freddie Mercury in the biopic is the way to go when you hear that.
We are the champions.
Or, look,
sure.
Take a chance with casting. Wing is Freddie Mercury. In the Queen story.
I would see either one of those movies.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Radio personality Don Imus is 73 years old today. Daniel Radcliffe celebrates his 24th birthday. Actor and comedian of the acting comedian Wayans family, Marlon Wayans, is 41. Charisma Carpenter, 43 years old today. Philip Seymour Hoffman turns 46. Slash is 48. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode and Woody Harrelson both turn 52 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, the new K-Rock sticker is going fast at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. It is free. You just stop by, pick one up, put it on your car. You can fill out the back and mail it in, or you can just take the information from the back and go to krock.com and enter online to win a private performance with Linkin Park for you and 10 friends, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Have we mentioned lately how much we all love Hot Topic, by the
best
way?
Has that come up?
It's awesome. And, of course, Beer Mug is in location several times throughout this week, including today. You're going to be at the Hot Topic in San Bernardino at the Inland Center. Is that right, Muggs?
Yes, and I will be at the food court first and foremost.
Of course you will.
Really?
From 1 until 3, when he's not stuffing his face at the food court, you can see him at the Hot Topic at the Inland Center. That's this afternoon, San Bernardino. He'll not only have Epicenter tickets, he'll also have tickets for the Postal Service, Uproar Festival, lots of K-Rock music, other K-Rock prizes. Details at KRock.com. That, my friends, is a pretty good deal.
On the way, we have Aubrey Plaza talking about the to-do list, and we're going to talk fantasy sports. But first, something that happened that was very funny while we were in San Diego. We were eating lunch, and Dave said, I have to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. And he stood up, and I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I was texting because, you know, that's what I do, and walking. And, you know, I had to go to the restroom. So I'm just texting and walking. And next thing you know, I'm in a door. I see it. It's open. I go through it. And the girl says, this is the girl's restroom. I take a look up. I go, it sure is. And I turn around and walk right out.
But tell them about how you took all the pictures.
Well, yeah, I have a first shot. So oh, no, I didn't do that. I did not do that.
We just walked into the girl's restroom. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, heads down. Someone opened a door. So I just said, hey, that's the one I'm going.
That must be the one I'm supposed to go in.
Now, look, I don't want to sound like the get off my lawn grandpa guy here. But it's kind of insane how many people you see walking, sitting, driving, eating, doing everything while texting. Yes. It's almost getting to the point with some people that they don't ever want to have their eyes off their phone because they're going to miss something, right?
Yeah, you bump into people, you bump into a pole, you kick something. You saw that girl on YouTube for a long time. She fell in that water.
Fell in the fountain.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fantastic all the things that happen. People die this way, too. They wander out in the street.
Oh, yeah. I have seen so many people step right in front of my car. They never look up.
So we're going to take your calls.
The street. It's crazy.
We're going to take your calls if something embarrassing happened to you when you were texting. You were not paying attention to whatever you were doing. It doesn't have to be driving. It could be walking. It could be whatever you happened to be doing. Something embarrassing happened.
Or painful.
Or painful. Sure. Painful's good. There's a new app. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Crash Alert is a new app that you can put on your phone. It uses your camera to give you a warning if something's coming, like you're about to bump into something.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Or you could look up. One or the other.
I don't know, dude. If you look up, you're going to miss all that information. Usually I'm on Twitter and, you know, I got to know what's going
on. Here's the thing about Twitter and texting both. If you're walking from a booth to a bathroom, I'm guessing you're safe to wait on that one.
But what
because
about,
you're going to be gone a minute.
Yeah, but in that minute, so much information comes down, dude. I follow a lot of people.
That's fine, but if you're walking into women's restrooms and it's not on purpose, then you have a problem, dude.
Hey, as long as no one hit me, I'm
and
all good.
And if it is on purpose, you have a problem.
Then you have a problem.
We want to take your calls if you've had a texting or tweeting disaster. You've been looking at your phone instead of doing something else that you should have been doing. We want to hear what went wrong. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. I don't have the story in front of me, but it wasn't that long ago, sometime last year, I think, that there was I can't remember if it was a man or a woman, but fell into a manhole in the streets of New York.
I remember that story, Lisa. Yes.
It was the whole deal where police and fire, everybody had to come out. I mean, it was a rescue. She or he or she was down in the bottom of a manhole because there was a cover that was open there while somebody was working on it, and this person was texting, walking down the street. It's exactly what we're talking about.
They did a nationwide study, 80 hospitals, so obviously not a complete study, but 80 hospitals kept track of texting and getting injured, and there's over 1,000 per year.
Wow.
Over 1,000 per year, and that's only those 80 hospitals. It's not all, you know, so it's obviously happening to a lot of people where you glance up, you're fine, you glance down and start texting, bong!
And we're looking Three Stooges comedy sound effect.
We're looking for funny, too. We're not looking for you got in a head on or your kid did or whatever. You know what I mean? There's some tragic texting while driving stories.
Yeah.
And those are in a category all to themselves. Do not text while you drive.
Well, that's how,
something funny. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
Let's talk to Mark, by the way. He's on line two. He actually was driving, but I don't think anyone got paralyzed like that poor kid in the TV commercial that you see. 1-800-520-1067. Mark, you were texting or tweeting while driving. What were you doing?
I was actually, I was coming home, and I was looking down at my phone. We were coming home from the bar, and I had been drinking a little bit. And
this is good. No, this is good because you start a little drunk, you get behind the wheel, and then you pull out your phone.
Probably not the smartest series of decisions I've ever made. So I'm coming home from the bar, and I'm in the car. I'm eating a giant plate of asada fries because drunken fries are
eating. Okay, this guy's bad.
Drunk. Stop right there.
Drunk. Driving, phone, food.
I went for the gold, you know? So I'm coming home, and look down at my phone to, I don't know what I'm doing. And before you know it, all of a sudden, I just get hit with the airbag. And sure enough, I ended up hitting two parked cars in the middle of January. No shirt on. I'm just standing there waiting for the police to come. And they're like,
you're a prize, dude.
It's amazing that you're alive. Please tell me you got arrested.
I'm actually alive. And they say, why'd you hit that car? And I just remember mumbling to them like it was parked out too far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the parker's fault.
Those stupid people to park way out in the street.
Why would you park next to the curb, next to your own home? I don't understand.
Mark, did you get arrested?
I did.
Excellent.
Oh, thank God. Good. Thank God. And have you learned... Have you learned any lesson? Do you do any of that anymore?
I absolutely did, and after it happened, it was a DUI, and I was just, you know, I took it pretty well, and everybody's like, how are you not devastated right now? I'm like, you know what, to be honest with you, I got what I deserved, and it's a lesson learned. You know, I drank and drove and stuff since I was 16 and partying and stuff, and never got caught until this, and I think that was the lesson that I needed to kind of put me on the right track to stop doing that before I actually, you know, hurt somebody, God forbid.
Fantastic. You're lucky you hit a parked car. I mean, you could have hit anything, you know, who knows?
Well, exactly. I'm glad you turned your life around, Mark, and thanks a lot for listening to Kevin and Meacham, and thanks a lot for calling. Okay?
Hey, no problem. Take it easy.
All right. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. You were looking at your phone instead of doing what you were supposed to be doing. Then what happened? We want to take your calls next on the Kevin Devine Show on K-Rock.
University Medical Center is part of a small group of hospitals chosen as a test site to report texting and walking injuries. Most of the injuries involved with texting and walking were broken ankles, fractures, and lacerations. But the consequences could be much worse. Others have been seriously injured, even killed, after texting and walking.
Talking about texting and walking accidents, if they're funny. Only if they're funny.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear your depressing story of getting in a car accident.
And getting paralyzed.
Right.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Associate Producer Christine just got a text from a friend of hers who was texting to say, hey, I just ran a red light while I was tweeting.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's a person who's doing too much behind the wheel of a car.
So she was tweeting, ran a red light, and then immediately went to texting.
Yes, that is correct.
Excellent. What? Jennifer just tweeted, Jennifer with a Y and an F-U-R, just tweeted that she runs into polls all the time.
But that has nothing to do with texting.
Correct, yes.
Let's go to Jonathan. He's on line three to get us back to your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Dave, the King of Mexico, walked into the ladies' restroom in San Diego over the weekend while he was texting. Wasn't quite paying attention. Jonathan, what happened to you while you were looking at your phone?
I wasn't really paying attention. I'm in construction, and I was walking around one of the job sites, and I kind of did a really stupid and embarrassing thing. Wasn't paying attention where I was going, and ended up falling into a ditch full of about 2 feet of overflowing sewage.
Oh, no!
Dude,
Why was something like that just open? Why was that hole available for you to fall into?
The ditch!
I usually on that job site every day, and the day before I was sick, so they didn't go to work, and they had just dug that ditch, and I guess overnight the sewage line burst.
Oh my God, and you took a sewage bath. That's not good.
No one had noticed it until that morning, and I got on the job site bright and early and just wasn't really paying attention to the new ditch that was there.
Did your boss make you work the rest of the day, or were you able to go home and change?
Well, luckily my boss is my father, so he let me go home. But still, it was bad. I was about 2 hours away from home, so I had to drive home.
Wow.
It's such a pleasant smell.
Yeah, that is aromatic. My
super nice.
Yes, thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Jan. She sounds like your tweeter, Jennifer, walked into a poll. Jan, what happened?
So I was at work, and all my coworkers always make fun of me because I text a lot.
Right.
And one of my coworkers told me I was going to walk into a poll one day, and I laughed, and I said, ha-ha, you're stupid. And, like, 5 minutes later, I walked into a poll. I almost knocked myself out, and I had to get sent home that day.
Oh, my God. Did you tell the people at work that's what it was? Because I wouldn't have.
Well, I had no choice because they saw me on camera.
They just said you were going to do it, and then you did.
You know, Jen, you used to be able to survive to go through every single day without texting at all. Why is it so essential now that you have to do it even while you're walking?
I have absolutely no idea. I think I am literally obsessed with my phone, and I'm always getting in trouble at work for being on my phone.
Well, look, everybody does spend all day on their phone now with photos and with Twitter and with texting. Yeah. I mean, it's understandable, but there are times when you could go 30 seconds without texting, and that's when you're walking toward a pole, especially if you're driving. I mean, it's not going to kill people to wait a little bit.
Right. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Marion. Marion is on line one, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What'd you do?
I'm an attorney. I just got done parking at court, and I was wearing a light-colored beige suit, and I was down on my phone emailing the client back, and I tripped over one of those speed bumps that are, like, screwed into the ground, not just one of those ones that are, like, cemented onto the ground.
Right.
And I had that one split second where I thought I was going to be able to catch myself and steady myself, and I stretched my leg out a little too far and just, like, a complete somersault. And ended up with scuff marks all over my suit, skinned up knees, had to go to court, and ended up with a groin pull.
Hold your groin!
Oh, yeah. I thought it would get better. I iced it for the whole weekend. Luckily, I had the next day off of work, and then it was the weekend. Went to the doctor just this last week, and the doctor's like, yeah, there's not much you can do for that.
And it's funny because I'm sure there was a point at which you thought, I'm an attorney. I'm smarter than this.
Oh, I felt completely stupid the entire day. I actually almost fell again at court, and a girl saw me, and she's like, oh, I thought you were going to fall. And I just had to laugh to myself because I did earlier.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome. All right, Marion, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Alex. He maybe should have been paying attention at work instead of looking at his phone. Alex, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Ailey Sunday.
Hello.
Okay, so I was assistant manager at a Radio Shack, all right? I'm behind the counter playing with a new smartphone, and some guy walks in, asks for a brochure, walks around the store. I paid no attention to him. He leaves. I round the corner where he was. 15 walkie-talkies are stolen.
There's no way he could take 15 without you seeing if you were looking at anything other than your phone.
Big fat guy, big sweater, $100 walkie-talkies each.
Wow.
Oh gosh. And that happened on your watch because you were watching porn on your phone.
The worst part was they had security cameras watching me.
If you had that footage, you should please put it on YouTube and let us know.
That's awesome.
Because it would be funny to see a big fat guy walk into a guy, into a store and have this guy just texting or tweeting or whatever and walk past with all those walkie-talkies.
All I could do is tweet, my store just got robbed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Thanks, Alex.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Go, you look at the clock on the wall.
Go sell your sausage somewhere else.
Look, the only reason I can, I'm able to survive the Bachelorette Report is because I love our next guest so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the P, Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show joins us. Hey, P, how are you, man?
Now.
Petros, the men told all last night.
Yeah, they did.
Hang on, we have a nifty theme.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papadakis, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
Now, yesterday we had Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, in studio. I don't know if you heard that or not, P.
I don't know. Did you guys play the theme song for Chris Harrison and attack him? And
We attacked.
Emasculate him like you do to me every freaking Tuesday?
They tried, man, but I wouldn't let them.
Ralph was saying to Chris that the Men Tell All episode is his favorite episode of every Bachelorette season. What says you, Pete?
I hate it.
What? How can you hate it? You it's great. They have to face the music.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you get a crowd of women who are angry that watch Lifetime that have been wronged by men in some way or some form or... And they all show up and they boo at these guys and they yell at these guys and these guys feel as if they have to defend themselves to womankind. It pisses me off. And hey, tell me, was Chris Harrison taller or shorter than Elijah Wood?
He's taller than Elijah Wood.
Barely, right?
No, he's average size guy.
Why do you ask?
I don't like that guy, man.
You don't like Chris Harrison?
He does a great job on that show.
He talks down everybody. He acts like a hard ass. He thinks he's better than everybody.
He is better than everybody else.
He hands out roses. I don't like that guy at all.
He's better than everyone on that show.
Well, that Desiree and her meaty ass. Come on, Ralph. Desiree's doing okay.
Petros, let me just ask you one qualifying question before we move on. Are you losing your love for this TV show?
No, that's not the case.
Oh.
Every year, guys... Like a man dying in the desert, I claw to the finish line of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
So, but it's a tough climb. It's way uphill.
It gets harder and harder. I mean, we have eight. There's two more episodes, and we have eight more hours of programming to get through, or six, or some ridiculous number like that, so this woman can find the love of her life. And we don't even know if that's going to happen. Now, do I enjoy the Men Tell All for the cringeworthy moments? Of course I do. But, Ralph, come on. All these women booing and hissing at these guys, that doesn't piss you off at all?
No, because they're booing the exact right people who deserve to be booed.
Oh, God.
Sounds like Jerry Springer.
I mean, what do you think? What kind of people go on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
That's my point.
Glory-hounded,
yes,
people. We
right.
want to see them clowned and beat up. They're yes. already making fools of themselves.
That's why I like to see them booed. I like to see them clowned. That's the point. It's WWE.
All right. Well, you know what, Ralph? I just got to say, and I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but it was too much for me, the attacks on James.
Oh.
You know, you're sitting there. There's 20 people, 20 dudes going after this chick, 25 dudes. You're on a bus, all the other guys are asleep, and you talk about the guy's boat in Chicago and how sweet it is, and these other guys sit there and attack you for saying you're not there for the right reasons. That's BS, and you know it.
It's not
oh
BS
my God,
at
you're
all.
Such a girl.
It's not BS at all, because if you're there and you're supposed to be trying to fall in love with this woman and you've said you're falling in love with her, you don't say to your friends, oh, yeah, I got some great girls back in Chicago. We can hook up with them. Let's go on a boat. We'll go out and bang these hot chicks.
All I'm saying, Ralph, is this. If you and I were on The Bachelorette and we're on a bus in freaking Bali or something, going back from some stupid challenge or group date, and you say to me, hey, P, I got a sweet boat in Marina Del Rey. We're going to go out there and shuck some oysters and hook up with some chicks. We would whisper about it and talk. I mean, big deal.
Not if I was falling in love with this other woman.
Yeah, with all the other dudes falling in love with her. And
hey, that's the game. You know what you're getting when you get in there.
Sounds to me like...
out with her and kissing her mouth.
You just like James because he's a big meathead.
I liked him because he looked like a football player.
Exactly.
There you go.
Do a lot of diamond push-ups.
All right, Ralph, it seems like you're going to have to lead since P is coming over to our side.
Well, I don't. This may be the last recap with
yes!
P. We may have to...
Yes!
May have to cut him loose. I'll do solo from now the rest of the season.
We have a theme song. That's no better. That kind of thing doesn't change.
Well, that's true. All right. Now, Ralph, are you? Is it tough for you in the final weeks of The Bachelorette, or are you still going strong?
No,
are you
awesome.
Gaining strength as you get closer to the finish line?
I can't understand Pete's lack of enthusiasm. Frankly, I find it disturbing.
Right, what did you find on
awesome? It picks up steam. This is a freight train with no brakes headed towards a bridge that's out. This is the best situation. This is the most tense moment.
And Beat and I are Denzel Washington, and we're trying to stop that bad boy before it wipes out.
All right, except for James, who had a little private talk with the fellas that P did not appreciate last night, or you didn't appreciate, I guess, Ralph. What else happened on the Men Tell All?
Ben, the lying douchebag single dad who never talks to his kid.
He got called out.
He got way called out, and he got put on blast by Desiree. It was awesome to watch him shrink like a violet.
Yeah, she said that he doesn't take care of his kid, and that the baby mama says that he's a deadbeat, and that he used the child as a prop to hook up with Dez in the beginning, and it almost worked. And that guy got absolutely filleted and shish kebabbed on live.
That sounds awesome. I have to be honest. Awesome. That does sound awesome.
It was so good. And then we got to fall in love with Juan Pablo.
Oh, Juan P, man.
Who's Juan P?
He would be our first English second language bachelor.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, he's a Venezuelan, I think.
He is.
Juan Pablo. And he has a daughter that he's really into, unlike Ben, who's a freaking deadbeat. He hates his kid. And he's got a daughter, and people love Juan Pablo. But I don't know if they'd have a bachelor with English second language. I mean, they won't even let a black guy leave L.A.
Yeah, that show does hate minorities. We know that.
It's time to step up and have a Latin bachelor, I think, for the next season. Everybody loves him.
And they should film it and air it in Argentina or wherever he's from.
Venezuela. No, they shouldn't.
No.
And Kevin, you'd like him. He's a professional soccer player.
Oh,
wouldn't
all right.
It be sweet if they were like digging up a sewer trench in a shanty town in Caracas?
That's a date.
That would be just like being in Atlantic City. No difference.
Did you guys ask Chris Harrison why The Bachelor is all white supremacists?
We did. Bean did bring that up.
We actually did. P, how many guys are left trying to get with Desiree?
Right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like three dudes?
That's three. It.
That's all three that's left. It's just three. Now, do you guys have a favorite? Is there somebody that each of you is rooting for?
I'm a Brooks man. P?
Yeah, I like Brooks. I like the first date with Brooks over the L.A. River.
Yeah, that was really romantic.
Yeah, and Brooks seems just dumb enough for her. We all like Dez.
Yes.
But come on now. She ain't that smart.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
I was wondering, as we run the clock out here on the Bachelorette Report with Petros Papadakis.
We're doing two segments.
Yeah, no. I was wondering, is Dez all that, or is it just a case of I'm a competitive guy and I want to win over all these other guys, so I'm going to pretend to love her?
She looked pretty good, man.
And she's charming and adorable and sweet and funny. And
she's the kind of girl that you could really fall in love with off the show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's got a very sunny personality. She looks like she's just a joy to be around.
You know what she looks like? She has the crazed, insane, giant-eyed look of a human anime character.
But even P mentioned she's got like a Katie Holmes vibe about her.
Yeah.
Not to mention
that toilet on her, right?
Ralph? Oh, that butt. Right? Oh, that butt. I can't get enough of that butt.
Yeah, you see that toilet on her.
Now,
you're
P,
a romantic bastard, P. Yeah.
That is sexy.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
Yeah.
You get all this out of your system on the Kevin and Bean Show Tuesday morning, so you don't have to infect the PMS show this afternoon with it, right?
No, what are you talking about? Now, we're preempted by Dodgers, but there'll be a Bachelorette report around 5 o'clock, and the people will hear it on their XM dial. High on the XM dial, brother, 247.
So that's where all the good stuff is.
Isn't that where they have the traffic?
You know, we like to call it high on the dial. Top of the heap.
That's right. This is just P's warm-up. This is P's warm-up for his own Bachelor Report.
All right, so who got kicked off? Does it matter?
No, no one got kicked off. It was the Men Tell All.
What did you think of Zach's emotional country song?
I could not stop laughing out loud when they had gave him his acoustic guitar and let him sing his country song.
Not interested!
Was it good? It was a terrible song?
Guy's got a pretty good voice, but it's a horrible song.
All right.
But it felt like America's Got Talent, like he's trying to get a recording deal now.
So yeah, they set up a whole little thing and like a little music easel. I mean, it was pretty quaint.
And they slapped some major reverb on his voice. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was really a performance. I thought I was watching Conan O'Brien.
So next week is the final episode.
No, it's the first part of the finale.
First guys, there's something happens.
Yes,
man.
She gets very upset.
Gets all sad. I mean, all the guys are crying.
You saw this in the teaser for next week.
Yeah, everybody's crying, and it's so emotional that there's a 2-hour part one next week, then a 2-hour part two the following week, and then of course the 2-hour after the rose special.
Holy crap! That's 6 more hours of this nightmare.
Can't wait. And then
so
January.
Much emotion.
Then January
so much
we get
emotion
the Bachelor.
Throughout this journey, guys. Just when you think the journey's over,
nope.
Yeah, that's when the motion gets the hardest.
Next
to
week,
deal with.
P's right. going to be at home, and Ralph's going to be at home. They're both going to have tissues, and they're going to be.
And we'll find out who's there for all the right reasons.
Hey, Ralph, did you see that bachelorette party thing at the beginning where they go around to all those parties?
Yeah, they crash the parties, the viewing parties.
I've never been invited to a viewing party. I mean, are there such things? Because I watch it alone.
I do, too. I think we have to start one,
you
P.
You two should just hold each other while you watch.
Bean, we should do a K-Rock promotional party.
We should have a men's support group for men watching The Bachelor.
Bean, do you have your slide bar.
Bean, do you have your sorry we're out of time jingle? Because I think we're kind of running a little later.
Sorry we're out of time.
All right. Thanks, guys. This has been very, very enjoyable.
Go to break. I'll come back on the other side. We got more to get into.
We're talking to a grown-ass man who has the word fantasy in his actual job title. How many people have that?
That's for 10 years.
ESPN senior fantasy sports analyst and author of the book The Fantasy Life, Matthew Berry, joins us in studio. He knows everything there is to know about fantasy sports play. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
That was the description of my world when I was a male exotic dancer.
Is that right?
Yeah. Fantasy was in my title, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Speaking of male exotic dancers, did you know? Lisa, you'll be very happy about this.
What?
And it makes perfect sense. I can't believe they didn't do it sooner. Looks like there's going to be a Broadway musical version of Magic Mike.
Oh, that does make perfect sense.
Broadway musical about a bunch of hot dude strippers who dance to music and grind their junk and have confusing personal lives.
It's like the full
Tennessee
Monty.
Williams would be so proud.
But with good-looking men.
Yeah, Full Monty was like a bunch of doughy Brits.
And it was a huge hit.
It was a huge hit. This is going to be strapping young bucks with washboard abs who will get out there and shake their moneymakers. Oh, the lonely women are going to fill that Broadway theater. It'll run forever. This is a stroke of genius. Same guy who wrote Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark apparently is writing this. Well, that's not good news. But it won't matter because they'll be just waving their junk and ladies in the front row, so that's all that matters. Steven Soderbergh and Channing Tatum are going to be among the producers of the Broadway show.
Is that
so
right?
They'll be able to translate their own film to the stage. So Lisa will be getting her tickets now. They'll be selling lube at the concession stand during the intermission. Sex toys. Amanda Bynes.
Is the best.
Is the best thing ever. I warned you. I said she's coming to L.A. She got on a plane out of New York. She was headed to L.A.
Yeah, you did.
I warned you. I warned you. And now we're reaping the benefits of having her in our environs.
Amanda, please, .com.
She apparently got in trouble outside an old folks home in Thousand Oaks.
Well, of course she
An old folks home
because we're playing Mad Libs.
No, she's Sunday night. She shows up at an old folks home.
That bitch is crazy.
At a retirement community, a demanding entrance.
To the old folks' home?
Yes.
Why was she demanding entrance there?
Maybe she was looking for a new boyfriend. I don't know. But she was turned away because they felt she was drunk, and they accused her of trespassing. Now, the retirement community was kind enough to call her a cab. When the cab got there, she hopped in the back and said, what every driver wants to hear with a fare, get me the F out of here. I don't have any money. She said,
wow.
The driver, as you can imagine, booted her out of the taxi at that point.
What a moron. Don't you wait till the end before you tell him you don't have money?
Yes. Or take me to an ATM.
Well, there's that.
That's when Amanda walked back to the retirement center. And that's when they had an ass full of her and they called the cops.
Wow.
There is no record, according to TMZ, of her being arrested. So it looks like she may have been guilty of trespassing at worst, and if that was the case, would have been just ticketed. So, no one seems to know why she was there or what was happening or how she got home afterwards. Unless the cops gave her a ride home and she threw a vase out the window while she was driving or something. You know?
Like in a million years, if you're coming to Los Angeles, why would you end up at an old folks home in Northridge?
Well,
it's
Thousand Oaks, first of all.
Sorry.
And
sorry.
Second of all, she grew up in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, she did.
Okay. All right. So, they're speculating maybe there's
like a grandmother,
maybe a parent,
somebody.
Or a relative, or friend, and she also owns a house nearby in Calabasas. There,
potential date.
Maybe she wants one of those E. Howard Marshall, Anna Nicole Smith kind of deals.
Sure.
Maybe
there you go.
Really old guy.
Maybe looking at an old man with some cash.
I can just about walk. Yeah, I can only walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good. Yeah.
Now, the thing that's missing from this story is any mention of the cab driver or the police officer or the folks at the old folks home being ugly.
The word ugly, what?
Oh, I'm sure.
When did that happen?
I'm sure she was dropping the U-bomb all over them while it was going on. You're too ugly to arrest me, officer ugly. Get me out of here, ugly cab driver. Your cab's ugly. Look at your photo on the dashboard. It's ugly. Dennis Farina, a longtime popular character actor, and even before that, a longtime Chicago police officer, who played a Chicago police officer early in his career, died yesterday at the age of 69 years old. Really bums me out because, see, he was a really good character actor, and they're hard to find.
And he was great.
69 is young. A blood clot in his lung apparently took his life. You may know him from Midnight Run, brilliant in that film, Out of Sight, Get Shorty, Saving Private Ryan, Snatch, Law and Order, or as Nick's dad on The New Girl most recently, a guy who could do drama and comedy with equal facility, and he was one of the good guys. So.
There's a great supercut of him up on YouTube of many of his F-bombs from the various movies throughout the year.
He knew how to cuss, didn't he?
He knew how to drop one. He sure did. Today's celebrity birthdays, Don Imus is 73 years old today.
Who writes this junk anyway?
Yeah, no, Don.
I'm sorry I did that.
You are.
I'm embarrassed that I did that. Yeah,
sure
I did
are.
A bad thing.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Don.
Woody Harrelson's 52 years old today. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode also 52. Slash from Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses turns 48 years old. Philip Seymour Hoffman's 46. Charisma Carpenter's a lovely 43 years old. Marlon Wayans is 41 years old. And Daniel Radcliffe, your very own Harry Potter, is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is going to be fun. Matthew Berry is in studio. The book is called Fantasy Life, the outrageous, uplifting, and heartbreaking world of fantasy sports from the guy who has lived it. Mr. Berry, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, first of all. And second of all, you make a living in fantasy sports.
Yeah, I have the goofiest business card ever, Senior Fantasy Analyst. Like, it sounds like a made-up title.
Sure does, yeah. It sounds like the type of thing that you do when you have time, when you're not doing your real job and living your real life. Yet it's something that you're able to dedicate pretty much all day to.
Yeah, it's goofy. Like, somebody will, you know, my wife will call me and she'll say something like, I need you to come home. I'm like, honey, I'm doing a mock draft. I'm at work.
And exactly. She understands that for the first couple of months, and then it gets annoying, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Now, tell us how many people in the United States play some type of fantasy sport.
According to Ipsos Research, and they're like, you know, one of these big research firms, in 2012, 13% of all Americans played fantasy sports. Just to give you a comparison.
So that's like 30 million people?
Yeah, something.
Or more.
I was told there'd be no math. But yes, it's something about that. Yes, it's about 30 million people, Kevin. Give you a comparison, about 8% of all Americans played golf in 2012.
Really?
And 6% of all Americans watched the 2012 American Idol finale. So twice as many people that watched the last episode of American Idol play fantasy sports.
What are we missing? Because it seems, and I don't mean to insult you because this book is great, but it's
you
dumb.
Can't insult me. It's dumb.
It's dumb.
What, fantasy sports is dumb?
Yeah, all of it.
Why is it
dumb?
Well,
it's not that. Here my whole thing, Mr.
Sure.
Berry.
Yes.
There's plenty going on in football.
Right.
Where you don't need something else going on. There's plenty to root for. There's plenty of intrigue. There's plenty of statistics. There's plenty of players. There's plenty of drama. I don't need anything more to fulfill that experience of watching and enjoying a game.
Right. Okay, so you don't, but other people do. Here's the thing. It is fun. The why is because it's fun. People enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun. Have you ever played it? Have you ever tried it?
No, I don't.
No.
You can't really judge it then, can you?
Well, sure, I judge everything, regardless of knowing it, if I have any information on it at all.
All right,
no,
fair.
But I'm a Cardinals fan. It's not a great time to be a Cardinals fan, but
which is why you're perfect for fantasy, like, because your season's usually over in the middle of November.
Correct.
But here,
maybe even
sooner, like October, right? But here's something that gives you something to root for the entire season.
But doesn't it go, if I'm rooting for a team, won't it be weird if I have somebody on my fantasy team that's playing my real team and then I have to kind of root for that guy? I mean, doesn't it
potentially?
Yeah, how do you handle that, Matthew?
Well, I think it depends on where your loyalties lie, right? So I'm a Washington Redskins fan. I lived in Virginia until I was 12, so I will be a Redskins fan till the day I die. And I'll always root
racist.
For them. Racist. Yeah. I didn't pick the name. So I'll root for them always, and I root for them over my fantasy team. But, I was doing an interview the other day, and the guy said, hey, I grew up in L.A. I'm a Dodgers fan, but I actually root for my fantasy baseball team more than the Dodgers. Is that wrong? And I'm like, no, that's your favorite team. Your favorite team is your fantasy team. And, you know, people
– whatever you're into, I guess.
Yeah, it's whatever you're into. I don't think it's fair for anyone. And I don't think you guys are doing this. But for the people that are super anti-fantasy that say that, like, well, you root for them over your real team. And it's just like, well, so what? Like, who's to say – who's to legislate how you enjoy sports? There are people who enjoy sports because they just like to go to the game and tailgate and get drunk and whatever,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
And there are people that enjoy sports because, like, you're a diehard Cardinals fan or a diehard Seahawks fan or whatever. And there are people who enjoy fantasy. Like, I like the Texas A&M Aggies because my dad lives in College Station and we watch the Aggie games together.
Right.
Like, that's why I like that team, is because it's something I do right. with my dad.
Do you have to be a math nerd to enjoy this?
Because, absolutely not.
Because isn't it pretty much all statistics? I mean, isn't that the driving force of...
Sure, it's statistics, but it's not, like, tough statistics. I mean, you know a touchdown 6 points, right? You in fantasy football, right? Right, you get, right, you get 1 point for every 10 yards rushing or receiving. So if a guy's got 100 yards and a touchdown...
But aren't you spending then most of your...
You can do that math in your head.
Right, but that's for one player. I can't do two players in my head.
I think you could. The thing I always say is it's like a Springsteen concert, right? If you're a Springsteen fan, you know his music, you know he's popular, maybe a song comes on the radio and you turn it up a little bit. But until you see him in concert,
agreed,
you don't get it. Once you see him in concert, you're like, now I get it. I understand the fanaticism. I understand why people like follow this guy and travel the country and talk about, I've seen 45 shows. Like, once you try fantasy sports... You get it. It's super addicting. It's really fun. There's a reason 30 million people play this.
Sure.
Thing.
What's the – this is the voice of Matthew Berry here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is the ESPN Senior Fantasy Sports Analyst. The book is called Fantasy Life, available everywhere now. What's the history of fantasy sports? How long has it been with us?
There's some debate about that. There's a league that started in the late 60s up in Oakland at the bar King's X that was like a fantasy football, like a very crude version of fantasy football. There's been different versions of fantasy baseball, Strat-O-Matic and APBA and all that kind of
sure.
stuff. But the widely considered founding fathers of fantasy baseball, which was more popular back in the day than football, started in 1979 at a restaurant called La Rotisserie Française in New York. So it was a bad French restaurant. But the group of guys would all meet there, and they came up with a fantasy baseball league, a guy named Daniel Okrent, and they wrote about it. They were all writers and editors and big media types, and so they wrote about it in 1983. They wrote a book called Rotisserie League Baseball, and that's why like my nickname is the Talented Mr. Roto. Sometimes you hear Roto, short for rotisserie.
Now, gotcha. What sports... Is there fantasy sport people that follow
anything?
It? Anything. Sumo wrestling.
Fantasy sumo wrestling is huge in Japan, if you'll pardon
it's
the
crazy.
Pun.
That's
right. If you can keep score at it, there is a fantasy version of it.
So I play what's the strangest? Of the ones at the strangest end.
Like there's fantasy cornhole. Like, you know, like
whoa,
yeah,
whoa,
you know.
Whoa, I rented whoa. That over the weekend. Right. That was not what I thought.
Right. So, I mean, there fantasy
what
spelling
does that mean?
Bee. I play.
Hold on. Let's back up to cornhole.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
There are some, like, semi-professional leagues of cornhole, I guess, in the Midwest.
I don't know what cornhole is.
Cornhole
other
is a
than
cornhole,
the sexual.
No, cornhole is a game that you play. Like, you have two. I don't know even what you call them, two little tables, and you throw beanbags back and forth, and you try to land the beanbags on these little tables, and there's a hole in the middle of the table, and you get, like, 1 point for landing on the table, three that gets into the hole.
And there's a fantasy league for that?
Yeah, that's what I've been told. There's a fantasy league. There's a there's one called Fantasy Tour. Fantasy is spelled PH, and it's all about predicting the set list of fish shows.
Is that right?
Right.
Well, I can see that if you're really into a band, you go
right,
to every
right,
show.
Exactly.
You try and guess what they're going to do. They rotate.
But does anyone even remember?
No!
Like you set your lineup, and who can after the show? Who remembers?
What's the legality of fantasy? I mean, is it legal to bet on in the United States?
Well, no, betting is not legal.
Technically,
but
no.
But fantasy sports and fantasy sports played for money are legal. There's a couple of states where it's not because it is a game of skill. Congress has ruled that it is a game
is
of skill.
That right?
Yeah, and so there's certain parameters that you need. to prove that it's a game of skill, like multiple players and that kind of stuff over a certain time frame. But yeah, it's a game of skill.
What's the amount of money that Americans spend on fantasy sports, you know, in a year?
It's supposedly a $1 billion industry. I mean, so it depends on how you define it. Like, you know, people that buy NFL Sunday ticket or, you know, MLB season pass, that kind of stuff. Like, does that count or not? You can depend. But like a lot of people that buy those products are fantasy players. So that's included in sort of the...
Because they need to see players from a bunch of different teams.
Sure. Yeah, they're watching every team. Look, when you get into fantasy, you get so much into it. Like, so you're a Cardinals fan, right? And you're going to watch every Cardinals game. But maybe you don't care about a Browns-Lions game.
Right.
Right? It's kind of a dog of a game, at least it was last year. But you've got Calvin Johnson on your team. Bean's got Trent Richardson. Suddenly, you care about that game. Suddenly, you have a rooting interest in that game. And so if you are a sports fan, it makes you enjoy sports that much more. If you are not a sports fan, it suddenly gives you a reason to care about.
Right.
My wife was never a sports fan, didn't understand anything about sports. And I got her into a fantasy league. We play one with all the kids and their parents, and it's like kind of a friends and family league. And last year, we're driving, and she's like, we got to get home. We got to get to the game. I got Matt Ryan playing tonight. And then she's like, who am I?
Right, exactly.
Now, when
she brags about your job, does she just say ESPN, ESPN? And then if they push it, does she go, fantasy?
No. She, God bless. She's very proud, and she says fantasy. And honestly, more often than not, the response is like, that's awesome. Listen, I got two guys on Sunday. I need to know. Like, they start asking her advice. Right.
Before we take a break here with our guest, Matthew Berry from ESPN Fantasy, did you, in fact, win a sports Emmy for your work on the channel?
I did, indeed. I am a sports Emmy winner for Fantasy Football Now, my work on that show. It's Sunday mornings, ESPN 2. I'll be a company man there.
That's awesome. The book is called Fantasy Life. More with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
And it is 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. We have Matthew Berry in the studio. He has written a book that is called Fantasy Life. And it's all about fantasy sports, but it's...
Yeah, it's not what you were hoping it was when you heard that title, I'll tell you that.
It's very funny. You have a lot of stories in there about how people, the lengths people will go to win. And one of the chapters is co-titled, is that a word? Co-titled?
Yeah.
A dude invited another guy's ex-wife into the fantasy league. Just to torture him so that he could get an advantage.
Go ahead.
What are the kind of stories you have in there about people?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of the book is like, I wanted to write it for guys like you. Look, if you like fantasy sports, you'll enjoy the book. But even if you don't like fantasy sports, you don't need to play fantasy sports to know a story about a guy inviting a bitter ex-wife into the league and didn't tell him until draft day. So he shows up and here's his ex-wife that he hasn't talked to in 2 years, and she's in the league. There's a league, guys. I found a league in Omaha, Nebraska, called the Tattoo League. You can go to YouTube and just search for Tattoo League. You can see video of this. The loser of the league has to get a tattoo chosen by the winner.
A permanent, not
some henna tattoo that fades. Rest of your life tattoo.
Okay.
They've done it for 3 years now. So there's a guy in Omaha, Nebraska right now walking around with a tattoo of Justin Bieber's face.
Oh, wow.
It says fantasy loser, hashtag YOLO swag.
Oh, that's rough.
They've done it for 3 years now. There's pictures in the book. If you, like I said, go to YouTube and you can actually see video of this. It's so cruel because they didn't tell him what the tattoo would be. Uh-huh. So he's lying down and he wakes up and then he sees it's Bieber's face.
You talk about a draft day. And by the way, draft day for fantasy sports is...
It's Christmas. It's the best day of the year.
It's the biggest day of the year, right. And you talk about some of them doing it in a strip club.
Right.
And I just thought, wow, those poor strippers. Because this is a group of guys that's going to be on their laptops.
Right.
Or whatever, their phones. They're not going to be looking at the strippers at all.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories. That, like, what could possibly go wrong? Well, apparently, so a lot of times people have these draft boards and they have players with stickers. You know, player names are on stickers. So they take up the sticker and they put it up on the draft board to show where their team is, what players are on their team. And so in this particular league, the strippers take the sticker away from them, right? They use a body part. The guys put the sticker on their nose, and the girls use a body part. You can sort of, and then they put the sticker on the board. Well, anyway, they're telling me. So one guy, this guy's kind of reserved, gets really drunk, lies down on the floor, puts the sticker on his nose, and invites the stripper to sit on his face to take the sticker away. Which was a lot of fun until he had to explain to his wife how he got pink eye.
There are a lot of people that you mentioned in your book that are seriously addicted to fantasy sports. One guy is late for his own wedding. Tell me the story about the guy who was in some sort of a horrific accident or something, ended up in a coma.
Right. So he's literally in a coma, and it's life or death, and it's like 3 days, and the wife is there, and his best friend who's in a fantasy league with him. And so everyone's like really, really nervous. Then suddenly there's a break. It's 50-50 if this guy even lives, but suddenly there's a break. He's coming out of the coma. They rush into the room to see him. He's intubated, so he can't speak, so they give him a piece of paper, and he just scratches out really shakily his first words after this near-death experience.
I love you, honey.
Did I get Romo?
Oh, no!
So he put
was
in a
that
bid
a positive or a negative? I mean, did you want
the time,
Romo?
I think it was Romo's rookie year, actually, so that was probably a good that was a good one.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. This is the voice of Matthew Berry here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the book called Fantasy Life, all about the fascinating world of fantasy sports, whether you're into it or not. Hey, are you good at fantasy sports? Do you win a lot, Matthew? Because there are a lot of people who are obsessed with, say, golf, but they're not that particularly skilled at it.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I win a decent amount of leagues, yeah.
How many leagues are you in?
I'm in eight leagues.
Which sports?
I'm in eight football leagues.
Oh, football.
I'm in eight football leagues. I'm in five baseball leagues. I'm in a basketball league. I do a summer movie league.
All right,
wait a minute. Fantasy movies. Yeah.
What the hell? Okay, so you're in eight football leagues.
Correct.
So you literally have to do the math again for eight different teams.
No. You do it
online.
There's
a program now.
You do it online. You do it on ESPN.com. You do it for free. It keeps track of everything for you. It's super easy. You get an iPhone app or an app for any smartphone. In fact, if any mobile device that can access the web, you can play fantasy. It's super easy. It all keeps track for you.
You know all the hardcore fantasy players in the world, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys are in your little clubhouse. How does the Cousin Sal rank? How's he?
Cousin Sal's in the book.
Cousin Sal's in the book. He's a great player. I'm actually in a fantasy basketball league with Sal, and he is an epic trash talker.
Oh, yeah.
I would tell you some of his trash talk, but absolutely none of it is suitable for the air.
You can't air it.
But Sal gave me a great story. He's in the book a couple of times, but one story. So he's in a league with 11 people. Most fantasy leagues are 10, 12, or an even number, but he's in a fantasy league with 11 people.
Does it matter?
Yes, because they have this rule where one person gets voted out of the league every year. And they do it on draft day. So everyone has to...
So it's like Survivor?
That's exactly right. So they all have to prepare for the draft and show up there, prepared for the draft. And then the last year's winner gets to basically say, you're out. And they have to leave.
On draft day. So everybody has to do all their homework and get their team and whatever.
Prep. So John Hamm from Mad Men is in the league, right? And so this particular year, Mad Men's running late. And John is like texting, I'm sorry. And they're like, dude, where are you? Come on, let's go. And he's just like, all right, I'm going. And he leaves early. And he's rushing through traffic. And he's like texting Sal. Like, I'm coming. I swear, I'm coming. And they're like, they're giving him all sorts of crap. Like, come on, you got to get here. We're waiting. You're holding us up. Finally, he gets there. He's out of breath. The hair's all messed up. He's clearly made an unbelievable effort to get there. And he's promptly voted out.
Oh my God.
And did they all know he was going to be voted out or no?
Yeah. Of course they did. Of course they did.
And so, totally.
Awesome. And as Sal writes, in true Mad Men fashion, true Don Draper fashion, Hamm just looks at them, takes a swig of beer, flips them the bird, and leaves.
That is tragic and awesome.
No, it was great.
I have to ask you about one more thing. And again, I'm sad that we're almost out of time here because the book is so fascinating. Can you tell the Brian Westbrook story? Ralph's beloved Philadelphia Eagles, Brian Westbrook, one of the most unbelievable moments in fantasy sports history, right?
Yeah, and a famous play. So it's 2007. It's the game against the Cowboys where Brian Westbrook took the knee. You remember this? He's like
on the one foot line.
For people who don't remember, the game was winding down. The Eagles were winning, but they're only winning by three. And most people would expect him to just run into the end zone, but he didn't. He took a knee and they ran out the clock and they won by three because they didn't want to kick off and give Dallas the ball again. So anyway, I meet a guy.
It was a smart football play.
But it was the biggest fantasy football play because it affected so many teams. And I met a guy who is telling me that he's in a Wall Street league. They want to remain anonymous, of course. But it is a bunch of high-end traders. 10-team league, $100,000 a team to get into the league.
Wow. That's serious.
He's in the semifinals 1 year. He's down by 5 points. His opponent is done. He has Brian Westbrook.
Oh.
Who brings a daylight guy. And if he gets a touchdown, that's six points,
obviously. So he's running toward the end zone.
He's running towards the end zone.
This guy must have been selling.
Right. He's going nuts. All of a sudden, boom, knee down at the one.
Oh.
As he says to me, that knee cost me $600,000.
Oh, wow.
So the next time anyone out there has a fantasy football loss, remember that guy.
Remember the 600 grand.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Is it just getting bigger, Matthew? Is there no end in sight to fantasy sports?
Yeah, it continues to get bigger. Every year we see big growth. We see it on ESPN.com. And I mean, listen, they want me to write a book about it.
I'm on
TV. I'm on the radio talking to you guys. Like, you know, that's ridiculous. If you told me 10 years ago that was going to be possible, I'd have said you
Matthew
were nuts.
Matthew Berry is the author's name. Fantasy Life is the name of the book. And there are a bunch of these kinds of stories about crazy people playing fantasy football.
No, it's a terrific book. It's really, really. And I know you have a background in writing for television and movies and stuff like that. And it really shows because the stories are great. When can we see and where can we follow you, Matthew?
Follow me on Twitter at Matthew Berry TMR. You can go to ESPN.com or ESPN, you won't be able to avoid me in August. And if you want information about the book or any tour stops or anything like that, FantasyLifeTheBook.com.
Fantastic. FantasyLifeTheBook.com.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, man. We really enjoyed it.
Nah, my pleasure, guys. Thanks. And let's get you guys in a fantasy league this year.
It's not going to happen.
106.7 K-Rock. Hey!
Hey! You didn't even hey at the end. You did it sort of in the middle.
Sorry.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 20 till 9. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
The beautiful Aubrey Plaza joins us in about 20 minutes or so talking about her new film that looks hilarious called The To-Do List. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, we got a question for you. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what.
Sure, everybody hears about George Zimmerman shooting an unarmed teen and getting away with it, but that's not all Florida has brought to us this past few weeks or so. They are just continuing to bring the crazy, you guys. Brevard County Fire Rescue says a man drowned on Monday morning after driving his lawnmower into the Indian River. Now, how does something like that happen, do you imagine?
I don't know, because lawnmowers move so slow.
Yeah.
Drunk?
Yeah, drunk.
I don't know. He drove his lawnmower into the river. The man was found by Brevard County deputies, was brought to the shore. He died at the scene. They are investigating the incident. The man's identity has not been released. I understand if you're going to commit suicide, but why destroy a perfectly good John Deere? That just doesn't make any sense to me, right? Hollywood, Florida. Here's a guy at a Florida gator park. He's doing what they call a lunge alligator demonstration. Now, these alligators are like 20 feet long, and what he does is he taps the alligator on the nose, and then the alligator, you know, lunges, as they say, opens his mouth, and then he throws food in it. It's like it's a party trick for the people who are visiting this alligator park.
Okay.
20 people are gathered around watching this guy when Will Nace, who's his man, gets in front of a 13-foot, 900-pound alligator, taps it on the nose. An eyewitness says, I've never seen anything like it in my life. When I walked by, all I could see was Will being dragged under the water, screaming at the top of his lungs until you couldn't see him anymore. Another animal handler was able to jump in quickly and save the man when the accident happened. I saw this dude being interviewed in the hospital, Kevin. He had a broken arm, a broken hand, and two things really stood out for me. One, he does this job at the animal park as a volunteer.
What?
He doesn't get paid to do this work. Thing two is, I'm not going to quit my job. I can't wait to go back.
He's going to keep doing it.
Alligators really? Are my life, he says. He's so lucky he didn't lose his arm. It's just crazy that that's something that somebody does for a living.
Not for a living. Free!
Oh, that's right. Yeah. For free. Exactly. As a hobby. Here's a player maybe you're familiar with. Very popular player for the Florida Gators. His name is Antonio Morrison. He was arrested on Sunday morning and charged with harassing a police animal. He was barking at a police dog. He violated the Florida statute that says any person who intentionally or knowingly maliciously harasses, teases, interferes with, or attempts to interfere with a police dog or fire dog or a police horse while the animal is in performance of his duties commits a misdemeanor in the second degree, punishable as provided by. So he walks up to a police dog. He's drunk, by the way.
Of course.
He starts barking at the dog. The police officer's like, sir, could you please stop doing that? He's like, no, he won't stop doing that. So they end up arresting him, charging him with barking at the dog and also with resisting arrest. He was barking at a dog named Bar at 3 o'clock in the morning.
If I'm that police officer, I'm just letting the dog go.
Yeah, good point, right?
Yep.
Take him now.
Whoever thinks to bark at a dog? What's that about? Here's a crazy story since Zephyrhills, Florida, is where this one happened. In Pasco County, sheriff's deputies say that a man named Elvis Prechtel broke into his ex-girlfriend's house on April the 28th. He stole a number of items that he knew were important to her, including 6 porcelain dolls that she'd received from her mother, 3 collector's plates with Merlin and dragons on them.
Yeah.
Also stole some jewelry, but the reason this one made the news and the reason this one is in What's Up with Florida is that she also flushed her father's ashes down the toilet and spread the rest of them around the bathtub.
What?
That's what he did with the father's ashes. Yeah. Wow. That he was trying to make a point, I think, to the ex-girlfriend. You know, that's don't look, fight all you want. Leave dad's ashes out of it, right?
Seriously.
That's a little rough.
That's evil.
And here's the reason for you to hate Florida and also hate lawyers. A Florida attorney named Scott Weiselberg has filed a class action lawsuit against Apple. Why? Because he says he paid the extra dollar to get the high-def version of the movie Big Daddy, not realizing that his phone only supported standard-def movies. Look, if you're buying Big Daddy for your phone, A, you don't brag about that.
No,
and B,
you get ruled against automatically with only that information.
Right. You're a dumbass if you pay the extra buck for high-def and don't know that your phone doesn't support that. They make it pretty clear on the Apple device is what everything is able to do, right?
Yeah.
So he says that he was tricked into paying the extra $1 for content, so he is suing Apple and wants it to be a class action lawsuit because he says there are a lot of people out there who got cheated by spending that extra buck for a movie that they couldn't enjoy.
I'm guessing they're not.
And I want to know, seriously, if you're watching a movie on your phone, how much difference does it make, honestly, if it's in standard def or high def, on your telephone?
None. except for it takes up a lot more storage.
Hard to believe this guy is a lawyer. Hard to believe he's in Florida. And that's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
We are preparing for what will likely be an awkward and uncomfortable few minutes with actress Aubrey Plaza coming up right after the top of the hour here on Q-Rec. First, though,
Ralph's you know how to sell it. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know how she is.
Dr. Optimism!
Come on, guys. You've all seen Aubrey Plaza be interviewed. It's tough, right?
Yes, it can be.
Yeah. She enjoys making people uncomfortable.
Listen, Dr. Doom.
And
just go in with the best possible scenario in your head. But Bean
is, mixing that with the fact that we're bad interviewers.
Yeah.
Yes. True. And that I love her, so I'm already a little geeked out by it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
no.
everything is working against us. Saying
no. When Bean lays on a layer of his patented creepy.
No, there's nothing creepy about it.
She's going to freeze up and wig out, and then she's going to get quiet,
no,
and then he'll double up on the creep. He'll double down on the creep cards.
There's nothing creepy about my affection for Aubrey Plaza. I just love her. That's all. And she's hilarious, and she'll talk to us next, we hope, coming up on K-Rock. First, though, time for the showbiz beat.
First of all, any layer of affection you have for any woman
is creepy.
Has an element
Why
of creepy
is it automatically
it?
Creepy?
Because it's you.
You're you.
Because it comes from you.
Stop being you for a minute, and then we won't have a problem.
I can love from a pure place.
Nope.
That's the biggest lie you've ever told.
No, you cannot.
Not everything is duct tape and rope. Come on.
Denied.
All right, here we go, people. It's Bynes NATO.
Bynes NATO. Yeah. I don't know that has the ring to it.
It doesn't quite, but it's Bynesopus?
No. Well, maybe, but no.
Is it the Bynespocalypse?
Closer.
Yeah. I told you she was coming to Los Angeles. I told you to be warned. I told you to batten down your hatches and lock your shutters and board up your doors and windows because it was coming.
She sure did.
So Sunday, I mentioned last hour, she showed up at a retirement community. Demanding entrance into the old folks' home. They said, no, you're drunk, go away. They called her a cab, though, which was nice. They could have called the cops. She got into the cab. She told the cab driver, get me the F out of here. Oh, by the way, I don't have any money. So he kicks her out. She goes back to the old folks' home. At this point, they've had a snoot full of her, and they do call the cops. No word on what happened with that altercation. They said likely she was possibly ticketed for trespassing. They're not really sure. That was Sunday night. Now we get to last night.
There's more?
Oh, yeah. Last night, Amanda Bynes was arrested for starting a small fire in someone's driveway. You know, just a small bonfire.
What is going on?
Law enforcement and the fire department responded to a call at a home in Thousand Oaks, California last night after they found Amanda Bynes standing in the driveway next to a campfire that she had set.
Maybe she was cold, Ralph.
Sheriff's deputies questioned Amanda what she was doing and why she was doing it, and based on her answers, they determined she needed to be hospitalized on a 5150.
Oh my God.
Wow. Finally.
Amanda Bynes currently is being held on a 5150 hold in an involuntary hospitalization for a mental evaluation. For the next 72 hours, she will be evaluated for her mental condition to see if she's a danger to herself or others. TMZ spoke to the woman whose driveway Amanda had built the fire on.
It wasn't her own?
No, it wasn't her
house. Oh, I thought it was her house.
No, it was someone else's house, a stranger's house.
No, it's way weirder.
She goes to a stranger's home and then builds a fire in their driveway. They talked to the woman whose driveway she built the fire on, and the woman told TMZ that she didn't know what was going on until the cops knocked on her door.
She didn't even know there was a fire in their driveway, huh?
The cops asked her, "Do you know anyone by the name of Amanda Bynes, or why she would have some vendetta against you?" The woman said no. It turns out apparently the woman was an elderly woman who lived in the house by herself.
Wow.
Cops then described to her there was a young lady in her driveway who had lit a fire carrying a little red gas can. The homeowner said, the cops told her Amanda had also burned part of her clothing in the fire. So it just sounds all kinds of bat spit crazy in terms of what was going on there. So now finally she is being evaluated by professionals.
Within a day of getting here.
Currently held in a 5150 at a local hospital, so I'm sure more will come on this story as we find out about it.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
Not anymore. Not since the operations. Not since the several nose operations she's had.
Beg to differ.
Not since with that beautiful wig she wears. I wonder if the wig caught on fire. I mean, that's what it was.
Ooh. Yeah. Sure, it was highly flammable.
Wow, that's...
It took L.A., by the way. This is why we're number one, baby. New York put up with her BS for, what, a year. She gets to L.A. one day. You're like, you know what? No. Welcome to... We've dealt with Britney Spears. We know crazy. We're putting you in the hold. We don't cotton that kind of behavior out here in the Wild West, Missy. Would you guys... on the next stage. Back where you come from.
I don't think there's a stage.
There is. Stage leaves in it. 45 minutes. Be under it.
Don't you guys somehow feel that Dr. Drew is responsible?
Of course.
I do.
No, it doesn't make any sense. If he would have stepped in and treated her when he could have, he just let her run rampant out there. Wasn't he helping her? Why
didn't he just treat people that don't ask for it?
Throw a net over. Why not?
Because it's illegal. They have rights.
What about me? What about my rights? My rights not to have celebrities setting fires on my lawn.
That's not Dr. Drew's fault.
Dr. Drew obviously turning his back on someone who needs help. Exactly. I don't know why you condone that, Kevin.
How dare you?
I say we bring him up on impeachment charges.
What are you talking about?
Let's impeach Dr. Drew.
You can't be impeached from being a doctor.
What do you do to doctors?
Take away their license.
Let's do that then. Malpractice. Let's do that.
How dare you?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Daniel Radcliffe's 24 years old today. You know what? Dr. Drew better get over to Emma Roberts' house before it's too late. And then you can nip it in the bud right now.
But you can't do that, Ralph.
Kevin.
Emma has to call him and say,
I need
help.
Open up a blog, man.
So wait, let me make sure I understand how Kevin's world works. So the house is burning down, but unless they call the fire department. I'm not allowed to go over there and put the fire up.
Oh, okay, fine. We'll just... Ooh, I see. Laissez-faire. That's your motto, eh, Kevin?
I'm a fireman. I'm just supposed to stand across the street and just watch that mother burn because they haven't called me yet, right?
Here's something I think we can all agree on.
Fire! That's right. Absolutely. Marlon Wayans is 41 years old today. Charisma Carpenter is 43. Philip Seymour Hoffman turns 46. Slash of Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver fame turns 48. Woody Harrelson and Martin Gore of Depeche Mode both turn 52 today. And radio personality Don Imus celebrates his 70th.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Fire beer mug.
I'll tell you what, Don. You fire beer mug and all is forgiven.
It'll be even.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How dare.
Couldn't be more excited about this movie, The To-Do List. I'm dying to go see it on Friday. I love Aubrey Plaza so much, and I'm afraid, Kevin, once we hit this button, she's going to hate us, and it's going to leave a terrible taste in my mouth.
But is that going to be her fault or our fault?
It's definitely not. Totally it's not going to be her fault. She should hate us. I'm not saying she shouldn't hate us. I'm just saying it's going to be a difficult realization for me that someone I love so much is now going to hate us. And when she hears the words Kevin and Bean, she's going to spit on the ground. That's what's going to happen.
Wow.
Hey, Aubrey Plaza.
I hate you both.
See? What did I tell you?
Quick, spit.
It took no time at all. How are you, my dear?
I'm sitting inside of a ditch on the side of the road.
Okay.
So not so good?
So not so good. So like usual, right?
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you, but we did see you at Comic-Con. We were there over the weekend like you were. How was your experience there? Did you have fun?
Well, yeah. I did a bunch of, you know, things. And then we had a party, and I ended up at the Top Gun bar where they shot Top Gun with a bunch of locals.
Fantastic. Fun.
Did they know you were a TV/movie star?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't really remember.
There's our girl. We were a little bit – I mean, I guess, you know, Comic-Con used to be sci-fi and fantasy. Now it's everything. It's just that's where you roll out movies. But this isn't the kind of movie that would have been at Comic-Con a few years ago. But we were happy to see you. We had Rachel Bilson on the show while we were there. We enjoyed very much talking to your movie sister.
You did.
Yeah, she's great.
She's really funny in the movie. She teaches me all kinds of sexual things to do with guys.
So the to-do list is your character basically graduating from high school, going to college, but you have not accomplished things sexually. So you make a list and you try and accomplish them, right?
There you go. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. My character excels in all areas except for sexual guy-related areas. So she decides to dedicate her summer to that. And she is really... smart.
And as we understand from friends who have seen the movie, she is committed. She has a laser-like focus to take this list of about 25 different things and just check every single one of them off by time summer's over.
Yes, she's like a scientist, you guys.
Okay. I wish we could use that word.
We can't really say that on the air, unfortunately, but I'm glad it happens.
Am I on the air?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Aubrey.
I thought we were just talking.
Yeah, no.
Now, I've seen the list. I've seen the list. It's up online. It's very funny. And, of course, you know, I'm a sexually experienced older man, so I'm certainly familiar with, you know, some of the things on the list. I'm familiar with the motorboating.
I will not make out with you.
I'm familiar with the teabagging. I understand what dry humping. I have to be honest. There are a couple things that I was scratching my head about, and I don't know if you can describe, but, like, the shocker. That's on the young woman's list in the movie, the shocker she wants to
do.
Would
you like me to describe it to you? Or come over later and show you how to do it.
I'm going to say, based on the title and your potty mouth, neither. I'm going to say neither. Okay. But see, now this is a
wait. I'll take in person. There's two of us. What's happening here?
It involves the thumb. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh wow! Wow. Now, so how does, like, if you can tell us, Aubrey, how does Brandy, your character in the movie, how does she go about finding someone to give her the shocker? Does she just knock on doors and go, hey, I'm looking for a shocker. Is anyone here can help me? What's she do?
I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, guys are, I think, you know, one of the messages of the movie is that guys are just kind of, they're willing to give girls the shocker.
That's true.
They'll do it if you ask them to do it. And I think all the guys in the movie are kind of fascinated by the idea that a girl is treating sex in that way. And they're like, look, I'm willing to be an experiment for you.
Right.
I will give that to you.
Guys are giving that way.
Guys are giving, mm-hmm. and they're willing to put themselves on the line to just see what happens.
Now, Speaking of things that people may not understand, I do have a clip from the movie. Your character does not exactly understand what she's talking about.
So you're going to scam on other guys and then hook up with Rusty?
Mm-hmm. No offense, but how?
You said yourself he's out of your league.
I never said that.
I did.
Okay, yes. He's out of my league now, but not once I learn how to pearl necklace him. Huh. It actually sounds really elegant.
It's not.
It's not elegant, no.
This is the voice of Aubrey Plaza here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's calling from a ditch on the side of the road somewhere in Southern California. A great... a great cast. Andy Samberg is in the movie. Connie Britton and Clark Gregg are your parents. Donald Glover is in this film. Bill Hader, Rachel Bilson is your sister in the movie. And this is a script that's been has been going around for a while, and finally someone got wise and made it. And it looks very, very dirty, which we don't get enough of in the movies these days.
I know. Where's the dirty? We need it dirty. And, yeah. And also, we don't get enough of girls, you know, girls leading the dirty movie.
Correct. You know? Correct.
I think we're ready for it.
We were talking to Rachel Bilson about the fact that it seems like every movie that comes out, they want to take away the edges, make it PG-13 so that they can appeal to more people and make more money. It's rare that something actually comes out rated R, is about sex, and is perfect.
I know. Well, the time has come.
You are right. Our queen.
Yes, you are. And we should mention, the movie is set in 93, so this is pre-Google, right? This is pre-internet porn. There's no way that Brandy can answer the questions about how all this stuff works just by going to her laptop, right?
That's true. She has to use her landline to interact with her friends and talk to her sister in person and have human interactions to figure out, you know, sex and how to do things. And it's a world that has been forgotten. So, which is a great, I think, place to set the movie in, because if we had the internet, you know, nowadays everyone just looks everything up and you don't have, you know, it's not as, things are kind of available, information's available,
right.
But for Brandy,
exactly.
She's using books and asking the librarian for advice. It's funnier that way.
And experiencing it so that you can learn what it is.
Exactly.
That's
all right. How do you feel this went today, talking to Kevin and Bean, Aubrey Plaza?
I feel warm, fuzzy feelings in my body.
See?
I lost a dollar. I bet against us. I bet against us on this call. I'm happy to say that I was wrong, and I'm glad that we made it to the end of the call with nobody getting mad or crying.
You guys, you're my favorite I've ever talked to.
Thank you.
And we're gonna.